Hashem comes to Moshe and says, go to Paro and tell him, let my people go. So first Moshe is arguing, who am I? Vayomer Moshe Elokim, Hinei Anochi Va El Bnei Yisrael Va Amarti Lahem, Elokei Avoseichem Shlachani Aleichem. I'm going to come to the Jews and I'll tell them, the God of your father sent me. The Amruli Mashimo, and they're going to ask me what is his name. Mo Omer Aleichem. What should I tell them? Says the Ramban, Vamruli Mashimo, HaPosik HaZeh Omer Lecha Parsheni. This Pasik is screaming, is demanding pshat. This Pasik, it just hits you in the eyes and says, I couldn't mean what I'm saying. Ki lo yitochen sheomer Moshe Avram li mashmo lios lahem o she aminu bo. Pshat could not be that the Jews don't believe, and I've got to go and prove it to them. I'm going to come and say Hashem spoke to me, and they're going to come and say, Hashem? What's that? And Mashmo, Moshe Rabbeinu was demanding, well, how do I show them that you really exist? Says the Ramban, that couldn't be pshat. Couldn't be pshat. So the Ramban goes with all kinds of different explanations. What's Hashem's name? Meaning, with what name is he going to take us out of Egypt? They want to know what his real name is. And the Ramban goes on with all kinds of things, telling us all about Hashem's names. And the Ramban goes further. Valdati lo yistapku zikne yisobem tzias abore kashama arav v'cholila. Chas v'shalom. The Jews would never have any doubts as to Hashem's existence. Couldn't be. How is that? They're in Egypt. They were slaves. They were oppressed. We know Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi. They're the ones that kept everything. Everyone else? We don't know. I mean, this was before Kabbalah Satorah. If they kept things, it was not out of obligation. What was the state of the Jews in Egypt? The Ramban says it just couldn't be that there were any doubts whatsoever. It's simple. When you read this passage, you know you can't take it literally. Why not? Why not? What's wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu telling Hashem, you know, it's been a long time. The children of Yaakov aren't alive anymore. It's a couple of generations already. I'm going to come and talk to them about Hashem. Maybe they don't know. Says the Ramban, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No level-headed human being can accept that. Why not? Why not? It is clear. It is clear to the Ramban that Emunah is so deeply ingrained so deeply ingrained in the Jew before Kabbalah's HaTorah. This is before the revelation. It is so deeply ingrained. Moshe Rabbeinu could not possibly have thought that perhaps when he comes and says that he was sent by Hashem, people will ask, who is he? Couldn't be. There is no such possibility. No? What do you think? There are lots of Jews that say otherwise. There are lots of Jews that really wonder. If Moshe Rabbeinu showed up today, if he showed up today, said, Hashem sent me, it's time to leave the rest of the world and come to Israel, what would happen? Send him to the loony bin. I mean, others have tried it. What makes the Ramban so sure that a Jew knows Hashem and never has to be told otherwise? And that certainly the Jews in Egypt knew. And even though we're told that they had sunk into the Memtes Sharei Tuma, they had sunk as low as a human being could without being totally destroyed. Nevertheless, it's clear that they knew. What was the source? Where'd they get it from? Where'd they get their emunah from? And it says they davened. The pasuk says they davened. Every one of them saw their parents and their grandparents, and it didn't have to go all that far back. How long was it already? How long was it? They knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who saw Yaakov Avinu. They knew someone who saw the Shvatim, who saw Yaakov Avinu's children. There couldn't possibly be any questions. The only doubts they had were with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu. The only question is, who are you? Hashem? No question. And after all of the negotiating with Hashem about going and not going, when he finally comes to the people, they believe. They get upset later when it seems to be backfiring, when it's working against them. But they believe. Where is the emunah from? I mean, they didn't see any miracles yet. All they saw was oppression. In that generation, they grew up as slaves. What did they see already? All they saw was oppression. All they knew is that there were kids being thrown into the Nile. So I want to take it a step further. That was all part of their emunah. With their oppression, they davened. You see, it's all a matter of how you translate things. Within the context of emunah, when it's clear to you because of the generations before, within the context of emunah, you don't have kashas, you don't have questions. You understand what's going on. You have difficulties. You're upset. You can start throwing stones at Moshe Rabbeinu because he's made your life more difficult. But you never doubt. know, many of you have been taught to think that anyone that cannot articulate why precisely he believes in Hashem, anyone that can't articulate that is not a believer or is a fool or walks around with faith and could just as easily have been a Buddhist, a Muslim, given his life for it. The mitzvah of emunah includes working things to the point that you can articulate them. But it doesn't begin there. The mitzvah of emunah is tuning in to what you know. More than anything else, the mitzvah of emunah is simply reminding yourself, making yourself aware of what you really know. And how you really know it does not begin with anything that has logical steps, but it's very strong logically. Perhaps not within a framework of rule one, rule two, but it's very powerful, and it's even logical. Logic on the level of common sense. Can you mathematically prove that if there was a Vilna Gaon, then Hashem must exist? Mathematically, could you prove that if there was a Vilna Gaon who knew what he knew and did what he did, then Torah must be authentic? Is that a proof or not? It is far more solid than all the evidence you use when you decide whether or not to cross the street. You're estimating, you're using your experience, you're using your common sense, and you're making a life-death decision. And we do it all the time. You have to estimate the speed of the oncoming car, unless you're going to stand there all day. You have to estimate his speed. You're also taking into consideration the fact that he looks like he's going to see you and that he's not out to run you down. We take things for granted. And if you drive around here, you understand that the psychological factor is a very strong one. People walk around with the assumption that everyone likes to scare you and no one really wants to run you down or bang into you. People make decisions that way. Life-death decisions. And with all the terrible things that happen, they are more often right than wrong. We make many life decisions on the basis of what we appreciate. We call it common sense. There's a lot going on there. When you use the term common sense, people think of taxi drivers, street smarts. Common sense means that there's a whole analytical process going on inside your brain. One that you have to be especially gifted to be able to articulate. To sit down and work out exactly what are all the different things going on in my mind that came to that conclusion? Part of it is you have to make yourself less human so that you can detach yourself from it and be able to turn it into a bunch of numbers. And that's difficult. But there are certain key factors that you can definitely pick up on. The Chinuch writes, how do we know that there was Kabbalah HaTorah? How do we know that the Torah was given at Sinai? He writes, because it was passed down from generation to generation, and Ein Odom Morish Sheker Lebonov. A human being does not teach his children falsehoods. So everybody asks, isn't every kid brought up on Santa Claus? Do you know how many kids believe that he came down the chimney last night? Do you know who made that statement, though? Whoever wrote the Sefer Achinuch? We're not quite sure. A Talmud of the Rashba? I appreciate it. I can say as a fact that my parents wouldn't lie to me. And I know that their parents didn't lie to them. And they didn't teach me about Santa Claus. So how about Eliyahu HaNavi coming to the Seder? Well, if you think that's Santa Claus, then that's a good question. They never claimed there was a physical body there. And when they did say, yeah, he tastes some of the wine, they said it with a chuckle because they couldn't say it with a straight face. And when it comes to morals and ethics and values, we know what Jews are like. You don't pass things down because it gives you power, because it makes you feel good. We understand the fiber of what kept the Jewish nation together. We know what it's about. We understand what Jewish values were over the generations. I don't just mean past generation or two. Talking about for a long time. Well, we know what it meant to be a Jew. It's not the same as what it meant to be anybody else. Pardon me, you can't measure the idea of parents to children in Judaism the way you measure it with Santa Claus. We live by values. We know what Jews gave their lives for. The lifestyle, the people, the concepts. We know this is right. Long before you talk about logical proofs. They're the next step. And they get different opinions of what is proper and what isn't proper, and who are you and is it healthy for you, which is very societal. It's a matter of what the norms are. It's a matter of the way people's minds work. And that changes with the generations. But in terms of the fiber of the Jew, there are no questions. So you're going to ask me, well, maybe everyone else feels that way too. I don't know. To my knowledge, I was never a Muslim. I don't know. And it's unfair to go and pass judgment on everybody. But of everybody I've heard, read, and seen, the concept of faith is very simplistic. It doesn't come close to what Jews are all about. Where are the values? Giving your life for something, that doesn't mean anything. You can get any moron to give his life for something stupid. But it's what we gave our lives for. And what we did when we gave our lives. And it's how we lived when just living meant Mesiras Nefesh. What was it like to live as a Jew? Self-control. See, you can say, what do you mean? There are religions that are into that too. Self-control with wisdom. self-control, with what we call normalcy. Becoming a greater person. Others also became greater people. What does the all-around greater person look like? The idea that Judaism is so demanding on every level. It is all-encompassing. It's not just a matter of being nice. It's not just a matter of being giving. It's knowing when to give and when not to give.